hopelessness. If people with the heaviness, they can't sleep. A loneliness, a mourning, rejection, sadness. Then you have self-pity that falls in there. Sorrows of sadness. Then you have suicidal thoughts. You have a torn spirit. You have troubled spirits. The effect of heaviness is darkness of our countenance. Our hearts are cast down. This spirit brings a heaviness over us. It dims our vision. It robs our hope, that at times calls the room to look darker than what it actually is. Heaviness brings a heavy, oppressive feeling. It quenched our faith. In other words, it decreases our faith. It may come over many of us at once like a plague. It can be like a cloud hanging over a place. Heaviness can cause us to isolate. It steals our love. It makes us feel alone. And listen, folks, many of us, I will just make me an inclusion, are experiencing some things now because, as I said before, I don't think Miss Moody, I talked to William before coming on here, loss of loved ones, okay? This year, been over inundated with the loss of loved ones, back to back to back. And loss of finances and loss of your status quo and what you're comfortable, how you're comfortable living. And it's just one thing right after the other. When you seem like you can gain control, okay, over one thing, something hits your world and knocks the breath out of you. So what do you do in those situations? How do you combat that? And I said earlier, talking people off of an emotional ledge, thus committing suicide bodily because they feel that they have no hope. Who was that, guy that ditched? He was a dancer. He walked to a hotel and he committed suicide. Had a beautiful family. I don't know if you heard of this man, Miss Victoria. Yes, this just happened last week, I believe.
Yes.
And then on today, on last night, they had to kill a father who had his one-year-old child in the car. They did a speed chase. I don't know what was going on in his world, but he had his baby with him. He ran into drove into a mobile home park, but put the gun at the child's head as a method of securing his life. And they had the SWAT team out there, and eventually they killed him at midnight last night. And so these folks are the things that people are facing today, the torment, the abuse, all sorts of things. And so, Victoria, when I read about the heaviness, and there is a heaviness, folks, there is a heaviness, okay? I mean, you can cut it with a knife. But what kind of methods, Victoria, or what kind of somewhat of an answer that you can give them to walk away or to help to embrace the joy? In other words, not what I'm trying to say is to turn that thing around. What can you give them to help them turn that thing around? And then also to accept the plan of God, because we cannot control life, folks, okay? All I can say is yay and amen. And I'll give you the scenario, and Victoria, I'm going to turn it over to you. But I had 1 year, back to back, family members dying. Seven at a time. Boom, 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 boom. And I'm like, Lord, I got paranoid. I isolated. I got depressed. I was afraid to answer my phone, okay, for fear somebody was calling me to tell me somebody else died in my family, okay? So I went into a depression. Yes, I went to work. I was able to function. But when I came home, I got depressed, fell into bed, isolated, was like a hermit. What do you tell somebody when these things are happening? And listen, it didn't just happen to me. It's happening to a lot of us, period. How can you help them?
I can too. One thing that I tell people, I had to minister to a young, very young lady about 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And I told her, the world is better because you are in it.
Wow, nice.
If you can't do it for yourself, there's people that's counting on you. You have a mother who counts on seeing your face every day. Mm-hmm. You have a father that counts on seeing your face every day. I said, hey, my life is better because I know you, because I've never met anyone like you, because there's no one else like you.
Wow. Wow.
And you have a purpose in this world. You might think it's not a big purpose, but you have a purpose. If you can't do it for yourself, I want you to do it for yourself because you're important. If you wasn't meant to be in this world, God wouldn't have never made you. You wouldn't have never came through.
Wow.
But I want to tell all of those that's listening, the world is better with you in it. Yeah, we all have flaws. The devil will talk to our mind and say, we the worst thing ever in life. No, we are not, because we are still here. And God has the final say. You might be in a bad place, and this might sound so much like a cliche, but trouble won't last always. You feel hopeless and helpless. Just let's make it to tomorrow.
Wow. Come on.
I can say in my youth that I didn't want so much stuff was going on. I didn't want to be here anymore.
All right.
I'm just going to tell the truth. Nobody knew what was going on exactly. I lost my job. It seems like I lost some friends. It was a time of loss for me. I lost my love. They weren't the only thing. It just seemed like it was just a time of loss for me.
Wow.
It was full circle. And I didn't know what else to do. And I said, God, now I'm going to be transparent. I said to God, I'm getting ready to go to sleep. I know that suicide will take you, you know, that's one of the unforgivable sins I've been told.
Yes, yes.
And I said, God, I just want to go to sleep and don't wake me up. I wrote a little note. I said, give my car to this one, give my clothes to that one, because that's all I had at the time was a car and some clothes. I'm just saying, I was young. Hey.
Okay, come on.
And I just went, I took a nap. I didn't take any pills. Because I don't believe in all of that. I said, God, if you want me to be here, let me wake up. If you don't, I'm okay, because I know I got a seat with you.
Okay.
I lay down in the bed, and it's like God took me in the deepest sleep, because I just was overwhelmed. Everything was hitting me everywhere. I had, you know, I felt isolated. I felt like I didn't have anyone in this world. And I went to sleep, and it was the deepest sleep I ever went into. And I woke up, and I thought I had slept 3 hours. I probably was asleep about 30 minutes when I looked at the clock. And I said, well, Lord, I woke up. So I guess you still wanted me to be here. I was about, 20 years old then.
Right.
Young and crazy. And so I went on. I wiped my tail because I cried myself to sleep.
Right.
I woke up 30 minutes later feeling rejuvenated. It's like because everything in me, I was on overload. And I believe it was God that allowed me to go to sleep because I was in overload. My body was in overload.
Yes.
But when I got up, I went on, I did this, that, and the other. God made ways out of no way for me and, you know, and everything. And then I was getting ready to leave that place where I was living. And I was sweeping the floor. And I was sweeping under the dresser, and the little piece of paper that I had, give my car to somebody, one person, and give my clothes to this other person.
I
looked at that piece of paper, and I laughed, and then I began to talk, and then I began to cry unto the Lord. I said, Lord, you brought me out, because that little piece of paper reminded me of the hopelessness and the helplessness I had in a moment. And if I would have allowed that to overtake me, I would have been gone over some foolishness. The next day bought jobs. The next day bought this. The next day, as I went day by day, God gave me everything I needed. But the fear of the unknown took me to such a place of depression.
Yes, yes.
That it could have been the other way.
Right.
But there were souls that I had, but I, you know, situations we go through sometimes isn't just for us, it's for other people. That's how I'm able to talk other people off the ledge.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Gotcha.
And just having a heart for that, it makes us sensitive to that heart. But I just want you to know, just keep on living. Things will change. I know I heard about DJ Twitch.
Yes.
And his situation and everything. And, you know, with the Ellen Show leaving, I don't know if that was a part of it, you know, ending and his job being different and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking that everything is over. And it's such a sadness that we saw this young man dancing and he, you know, him and his wife got together and they danced online and everything.
And even, and Victoria, even before his day of committing suicide, he was talking on media and he was, you could, he didn't even look troubled. So we don't even know. We can't go on a people's appearance. Is
right.
What I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
We don't know the mental status. He looked ever so well. He talked really well. He was hitting some very valuable points. Only for the last video that he, I mean, did, the very next day he walked himself down to a hotel and shot himself, from what I'm understanding. So we can't take people's emotional status for granted, is what I'm trying to allude to.
Yeah.
Because we look at people, and you said something, Victoria. You said, because we learn to dress up well, don't we?
Yeah.
Even in the midst of our sorrow or heaviness. And people tend to look at you and make you think that you're not in pain, you don't feel anything, you're not going through any emotional trauma. So what they do is they size you up based on your appearance, your outward appearance, you see. And I think that is such a travesty, because we as brothers and sisters, not just go all the way there. We are supposed to feel each other. Because guess what, folks? We can't put our one in the only one status that is suffering pain. I hope I'm making some sense here.
Yeah.
Because we have some people who are very selfish in their dilemmas. Because they're, one of the things I was taught, my grandmother was an international evangelist. One of the things I was taught by her, and she told me some of her testimonies about how she endured as a woman of God. And to look at her, you wouldn't think that she even been through anything.
Yes.
But I used to sit up under her, and I thank God for that privilege. But she taught me something. You don't judge anything. What's the cliche? You don't judge a person by the cover of their book, right?
Yeah.
And I know I twisted that up a little bit, but y'all get the understanding. Mm-hmm. So you go and look at the content. What is going on? And I really believe that God has many of us in the arenas that we're in, not understanding why we had to go there. And Victoria, you said that our life is really a testimony for somebody else. Had you not come through it, and had you not faced your reality, and then too, you relied on God, because that's our sources, folks. I know me and Victoria, we talk about some things, but my source, my total source, and I can speak for myself and she can speak for herself, is totally God. Period. Okay. And so if I didn't have him, I would be eternally lost. Trust the girl. Okay. And you talking about somebody being cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. We can all, you know, compare our testimonies, but our trials and struggles, but nevertheless, we've been through them. All right. And so you went through what you went through. I went through what I went through. And some of the people in our audience here, they went through what they went through. And I'm not trying to, somebody wrote about competition. Listen, that is such a terrible thing, to be competing about your sorrow. That's so terrible. How are you going to compete about pain and weighing your pain against somebody else? What do you say about that, girl?
I just dropped one of them off. But that is a bunch of foolishness. I didn't have to. Come on, let's tell the end of the story. But God, okay.
You know, I get so, don't you get tired of that? I'm like, really? You are that stuck into yourself that nobody else matters, that you don't care about anybody.
But you know what? we have to stop throwing parties. And I'm talking about pity parties.
You say on, girl, because that, ooh.
Sometimes it is just you having a pity party. Oh, woe is me.
Yep.
Woe is me. Woe is everybody. Everybody goes through some sort of hardship.
Come on.
Now, it does not mean I don't have compassion about your situation.
Come on.
There was a time I cried all the time about everything, and I had to shake myself and say, wait a minute.
Right.
If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things.
That part.
There are things that we all don't have that we want. Come on now.
Right.
There's right. something that we all, even millionaires, there's things that they want that they can't have or they don't have at the moment.
Right.
But right. if I throw a pity party, fine, think about a reason to live.
That part.
When things get really hard, I tell myself, because just because the spirit of depression goes away, it does not mean it stays away.
It'll come
creep back in when things are low, and I have to remind myself,
mm-hmm.
come on now. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm a woman of God. I got the Holy Ghost. I pray for other people, but it doesn't make me exempt from
yes.
trials. Come on. Jesus was hungry. He was in a desert place.
Come on.
The devil spoke to him, so he'll try to speak to us. But the difference is, when the devil spoke to Jesus, Jesus gave him the word.
Come on.
And that's what we have to do when the devil comes, because he is as a roaring lion. Take away his teeth, honey. Jesus gave us power over the lion.
Come on, girl. Listen.
So all you have to do is, you know what? When you start feeling to that place of hopelessness, thank God for what you do have.
That part. Now that
you got a place there. Yeah, you might not have, you know, what everybody else have, but you got something. You got something that someone else does not have. Mm. I had the opportunity to minister in the islands, and I wasn't on the tourist side. I was on the real people side. I saw people living in shanties, meaning little sheds. When we look at it, we look at them as little sheds, pieces of wood put together to keep the wind out.
Right.
And then they ate on a day. They didn't have refrigerators. They had to go get food daily.
Come on.
They didn't have air conditioning. I had to live in that place for a time during missionary work. No air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the lady had to buy water for us to drink and to bathe in.
Wow, come on.
And when I had that experience and I saw the people, and I was in a church that didn't have no windows and no doors, y'all. They had just got a roof. But the people would come, they didn't have cars. Very few people had cars where I was, because the people were poor. They walked down a mountain with a flashlight in the high grass. To come in, there was no keyboard, but they sung and they was thankful to God, and they went back home to their shacks. And I said, when I got back home, I had a whole different outlook on what I had, because if they saw the way I live, they would say I was a millionaire.
Okay.
Compared to what they had. So I'm just grateful. Right. I've gotten to the place of being grateful. And in those hard times that I told you about, about back in those days, I remember not having nothing but eggs and grits.
Hey, listen, come on.
And some butter. And I was grateful because I had butter, because sometimes we didn't even have butter. Let's get real. It was, my grandma used to call it margarine. I had margarine. Fake butter.
Come on, girl.
I'm going to tell you, I was sitting in the house one day, and you know, after a couple of days of that, you know, I was grateful I had a meal, but I said, my neighbors are over there smoking weed and eating steak. Because, and it was raining, because you know when it rains, you can smell what your neighbors are cooking, right?
Oh, we know this.
So I could smell the ganja, the weed, and I could smell the steak and onions. And I said, God, I'm sitting here. And I'm trying to serve you, and I'm eating grits and eggs every day. And they were just smoking weed and, you know, lighting it up, puff, puff, pass, and they eating steak.
Right.
And God told me, I heard the voice of the Lord say, if you eat those eggs like you eating steak, he said, I bless you with lobster.
Come on.
And I began to eat my eggs and grits. And I said, thank you, Lord, for my lobster.
Listen, Victoria. And look,
my mother came home. I just want to tell you the end of that testimony.
Go ahead, honey. Go ahead.
While I was eating that, and I ate it, and I said, well, thank you, Lord. My mother came in. She had just got a new boyfriend, and he said he want to meet you. He want to take you out for a lobster dinner.
Wow.
And by that Friday, I was sitting in Red Lobster.
See?
Eating a lobster. He said, what do you want? And I'm like, you know, I said, well, I don't know. He said, I tell you what, I'm going to get a lobster, so you going to get a lobster.
See?
And I was holding it in, and then to myself, I was saying, thank you, Jesus, because he told me if I was just grateful over a few things, he'll make me ruler over many. Look at that.
Listen, did y'all hear that? And you know how many times have God, and I was just getting to this point, if we would just take a step back, because we cannot allow the spirit of heaviness, because what happens, folks, you blank out to being thankful for what God, the place that he has you. It causes you to black out, because then now you're focused on your status. God does not want you to be focused on the place that you're in. He wants you to be thankful. And Victoria, I heard you loud and clear, because yeah, sometimes we get complacent. You know, we have oatmeal. That's all we had is oatmeal. And you know the devil be speaking to you, talking about, you know, that's all you have is oatmeal. And in fact, I'm gonna make you laugh. You can smell fried chicken. You can smell everything.
Yeah.
And you gotta eat oatmeal, and you're trying to pretend, okay, that it is fried chicken and some rice and greens and what have you.
Yeah.
But you can't, because the reality causes you to, because you're so focused on your heaviness and your depression and your status, you cannot focus on the good things. And you said a scripture that I have down. Think on these things. Think on things that are lovely, yeah, and pure, a good report. Just think on these things. But God said, be content in whatever state that you're in. There's a scripture that I always quote in Isaiah 55:11. It says, so shall the words that go out of my mouth. And there's some promises that he's made to many of us, many of you that are out in media land. The promises that God made to you, they're not going to return to him unfulfilled, unaccomplished, but they're going to accomplish whatever he pleases. And he says these words, and he said they will enhance themselves wherein I send them to. So my thing is, folks, you're going through tests and trials. You're going through several things right now. You don't have what you think you want, but God said be content, because he's giving you what you need. And when you are praising him in the need, he will give you some dividends. I can't put it no plainer than that. And so he's able to perform, to do above and exceedingly above that you're able to ask, even with your emotional status. And one of the things I had to do in my depressive state, and I have to go here, towards the end, I had the Lord let me to do, write down 7 things, because I was in a terrible state. And many of you have been in a terrible mental state. Let truth be told. One of the ladies on here said, but God, that's my word, but God. Because when I say, but God, I have to turn that thing around. And so he had me to step back and to write some things down, okay? And gave me 31 days to do so. This might help somebody out here. And then maybe you've done it, maybe you haven't. Which he wanted me to write down that he has done for me, to reflect on the things that he has done for me, regardless of how minute or insignificant I thought it was, okay? He said, write it down. And guess what? The Lord brings it to your remembrance. And towards the end of the day, okay, of those days, those 31 days, my depression started leaving me, because guess what? Started thinking on the things, how God protected me from a severe accident, and God healed my baby's bodies. And you know what I'm saying? And just little things that he provided. May not have been much. We had soup. I thank God for the soup, okay? Mm-hmm. And so God had me to reflect on the positive things. Yes, I loved loved ones, and it hurt because of the loss. But guess what? Like you said, Victoria, the time that I had to spend with them was such a joy. And I learned so much. We want people to live forever. Okay. But God has a plan. He said, I know you're expected in your plan for your life. And he says, you know what? Nothing compares to the glory of God. We have some people who pray that they're tired. And guess what? God honors that. You know that when their life, their walk is done, he takes them on because he does not want them to continue to suffer. So I had to learn that, those things. So in the midst of my most trying times, I always had to find a praise. Yeah. I always had to tell Cecilia, me, sit down somewhere and think on the goodness of God.
Yes.
Think on, regardless of what you've been through, who doesn't like you? Who's still talking about you thinking you're rich? Come on, folks, okay? Mm-hmm. Think you got more than enough and more than them, because they're on the outside looking in, okay? That's why you can't listen to people's thoughts, because their level of mentality, where you're at, the status that you're at, they don't even understand your story, nor do they know it, okay? So why are you passing out because of what they think? They don't even know, okay? God knows you inside out before the foundation of the world. And so the Lord said, I need you to think on the things I've done for you, okay? And so he said, and then to make a gratitude note, okay? A gratitude list, all right? And then write down, he says, write down the grieving and then write down the joy. And I know you've probably seen this in another probably segment or something. In doing this. But write it down. Guess what? Your joys, me coming through, is going to outweigh your griefs, okay? It's going to outweigh your negative status. So in Philippians 4:4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. God talk. He said, let your moderation be made known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Be careful about your complaining about nothing. Because, and Victor, you said something. You know, the next door was smoking weed and frying steaks and everything else, right? You could smell the food, right?
Yeah.
So guess what? You focused on the food because that was a need at the time. And guess what? That other booger made sure that was magnified in your nostrils. Come on here. Mm-hmm. To the point where you could hardly focus on God for smelling the food, even though the weed was going strong. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's almost like he separated it in the air so that you could focus on your need at this time. Folks, listen. Mm-hmm. God's got you covered. And we are here to encourage you and not to allow what is going on in this season, because you have to reflect the reason. Yes, it's good to gather together and have your dinner. I love that. Family is awesome, and fellowship. That's some of the most wonderful time. If you don't have a gift to give, or if you can't buy nothing, you understand, it is the fellowship, the love that you should surround yourself with. And we cannot be selfish. That's one of the things we can't. We need each other in this season. Y'all better hear me good, okay? We need each other. Pray for each other. We need to come out of our selfishness and think that I'm supposed to be put on the pedestal because my pain is greater than maybe Sister Mary Sue across the street. You don't know that. You don't know. So you cannot make comparison. And like I said, somebody said that about competition, about pain. Who does that? Who? Does that, okay? So I just wanted to let you know, and our time is being far spent. Victoria, you have words, and then I'm going to say something after you. Here's what I do want you to do. Focus on the joy of the Lord, because guess what? Everybody's going to have a downtime. Everybody. Millionaires, everybody. The White House, everybody. Okay? They may be in position of power, but everybody got some stuff that they're going through. Okay? All right, Victoria, go ahead and give a couple minutes of final words, and then I'll give the last word, and then I'll turn it back over to our CEO.
Yes. I just want to say, you said something about a gift. You know, right now we're worried about giving people gifts.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? I want to tell everyone out there, if you don't have a monetary gift, a tangible gift, guess what? You are the gift.
Ah, come on.
You're the blessing. You might not be wrapped up in paper and a bow on top of your head, but you being in their life, being able to be with family, being able to be with friends, being able to just be here. Because sometimes people are in places where they can't get to their family. But you are the gift in this world. And we want you to just be the best gift that you are. When people meet you, they feel love. When people meet you, they feel warmth. When people meet you and have a conversation with you, we hope that they feel better because you've been in their midst. And we want to make sure that we as Christians, as people, that we carry ourselves like a gift. That we're not looking down on people, that we are warm, and that, and when people, guess what? When you really care about people, you don't have to tell them you care about them. They can feel it.
Exactly. Exactly.
You are the gift. Let's start walking like we are a gift, because we truly are a gift from God.
Yes. Yes.
And the world is better because you are in it.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad that you showed up today. I'm telling you, I said, Lord, but I'm glad. And you know, he just come through in the nick of time. But I do want to tell media land, somebody is listening out there. And I just really feel that in my spirit. And I want to encourage you to figure out what's important to you in life and focus on that. Okay. This could be whatever, your work, your family, volunteering, caregiving. Do something for somebody else. Spend your time doing what feels meaningful to you. And if you haven't done anything meaningful, it's time to start. It's a good time. Make a sandwich. Go out there and pass it to a homeless person, okay? Gratification from the Lord. He will give you a pat on your back and you make you feel good that you helped somebody else who was worse off. Then you stay positive. Yes. Get in the positive arena. Walk away from that negative feeling. Walk away from heaviness. Focus on the good things in your life. Forgive yourself for making mistakes, even for complaining. God's not afraid of your little complaints anyway, okay? But stop making so many complaints and mistakes and forgive others. Spend time with healthy, positive people, okay? I know you know some. I don't go to hiding isolated. Spend time with positive people who thank God for the status that they're in. You know that you can count on them to talk you out of the blues arena, okay? Now, you have to work it out for yourself. Sometimes you have to go to counseling groups. Go to a therapist. Don't be ashamed. Talk to a counselor. Talk to, you know, you somebody you know or one of your pastors or teachers that you can really trust. Sometimes some folks need to get some medication, okay? Don't be scared. Don't fall into depression, because let me tell you something, folks. Heaviness can cause an emotional imbalance, which causes your body to be all out of whack. That's why many are sick today. So we want to encourage you. Hold your heads up high. Walk away from heaviness. Speak to it, because heaviness has ears. Tell them, not today, get on down the road. Okay? Speak to it and tell them, I'm not going to embrace you. I will embrace the status that I'm in. And reflect on the good things that God has done for me. God bless you all for listening to us today. William, thank you so much.
Miss Cece, Miss Victoria, what an outstanding broadcast. You helped, you blessed somebody today. And I want to tell you, one of your listeners said, millionaires commit suicide also. That is true. Just because they have money doesn't mean they are happy.
Wow.
What a broadcast. Yes. And this is a special broadcast, folks. Not only because it's that time of the year and, you know, the suicide rate is higher during the holiday season than ever. But I'm going to tell you, this broadcast will be up on the website, folks, in case you want to hear it again, you want to share it with a friend, share it. I'm going to ask everyone who's listening right now, please share this with somebody, because everybody knows somebody is going through something. Please share this broadcast now. This is how you do it. I'm going to talk slowly, okay? Because you, Miss Cece, and Victor, you know I talk, sometimes I talk a little fast, right? So I'm going to slow this thing down a little bit. And ladies and gentlemen, go to studio W, don't forget the W, Buzz, mm-hmm. BUZZ.com. And Victoria and Miss CeCe, we changed the archive button. We put that on the homepage, so you don't have to do a drop down or anything. It's right there.
Nice.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay. Awesome. Folks, Studio W Buzz.com, and everybody who's on air or listening right now, go there. Please leave a comment for these ladies. Let them know that you enjoy the show. Give them your feedback, okay? All right? And I know you're there because I'm seeing the comments here. So please do that. StudioWBuzz.com. If you have an Apple device, you can share this with your friends too. Tell them go to studio.w in the Apple App Store, or Android Studio W. If you have Alexa, tell Alexa, okay, Alexa, play mm-hmm. Studio W, Studio W, and it'll play it for you. We're available on, let's see, Facebook, let's see, LinkedIn, and Twitter as well. So you can catch us anywhere. So, again, I applaud you, ladies. What an excellent, excellent broadcast, and it's needed, okay? So thank you so much. So got to run. As a matter of fact, I'm going to leave this with you, Miss CeCe. And, Victoria, I don't know whether you heard us or not, but Miss CeCe, she's on with me on Sundays on the Boomerang Radio Show. We will resume broadcasting on the 8th of of January. And we have a very, very special program. Victoria, I'm sorry, Miss CeCe, you know, we have Mike Ward, the sheriff. He's coming back on.
They're coming back.
They're coming back on the 8th
yes.
along.
Yes.
Yes, yes. What a great broadcast that was.
Yes.
And definitely needed. And then Sergeant Moffitt will be back. Danny
awesome.
Tisdale will be there. And Dr. Demery
awesome.
And you and Ann. And, folks, it is a very special broadcast. Well, we did. A couple of weeks ago, we did this program on situational awareness, safety during the
great.
Holidays, and we're going to come back.
It was great.
Yes. So anyway, got to run. I feel like, you know, we could have another show here, but have to get ready for the next show. The next one's going to be a lot more fun, folks. So stay tuned. That's Mad Mike and Wild Will Coast to Coast. It's a different kind of show. Okay.
I say Merry Christmas to everyone? And
yes.
Please be safe. Be safe. Be aware of your surroundings, but have an awesome holiday. Make the best out of it.
Thank
Be
you.
Positive and thank God through it.
Amen, amen, amen. Victoria, Miss CeCe, thank you so much, and we'll see you soon. How about that?
Great, thank
All
you.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Miss CeCe's Kitchen right here on The Buzz, StudioWBuzz.com. All the finest in broadcasting anywhere around the globe.